If you would, look at Psalm 73 with me, and we want to kind of zoom in on verses 25 and 26. I just have a few brief thoughts I want to share with you today, and I thought about telling you at the beginning, well, this will be a little more like a meditation than a sermon, but I even meditate loud, so in the end it would be more like preaching anyway, so I thought we'd just call it what it is. We want to examine these two verses in light of the first question and answer of the larger catechism, which are nearly identical, but have a couple more words than the question and answer to the shorter catechism. The question is this: what is the chief and highest end of man? And the answer is, man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and fully to enjoy Him forever. That is the purpose for which humanity was made. Now, I have many tools at my house, not nearly as many as some of the older men in my family. My wife's uncle recently had a gentleman, an old family friend, come to him and seek to borrow some money. And Uncle Ray said, well, let's not borrow money. That puts you in a tough spot. So why don't I just buy something from you? This guy is getting up in years and had a full orbed woodworking shop. And so when we were down for the holidays to Texas, Ray took me out to the barn and showed me all these wonderful prizes he had received. But I am the king, even with the tools that I have, of using the wrong tool to do the right job. I can get impatient, and I just want to get it done. And so rather than go and dig through everything, I find the closest looking thing and try to make that work and try to make it fit. But to be honest, my tools experience the fullest glory of what Craftsman or Stanley made them to be when I use the right tool to do the right job. A screwdriver goes unfulfilled when I use it as a chisel. A hammer goes unfulfilled when I use it as a screwdriver. And I even went so far as to try to use a can opener to twist a shower head pipe the other day because it was really cold outside. And I knew I had a pipe wrench somewhere out there, somewhere. It didn't work because I was not using the tool for the purpose for which it was made. The same thing is true of our humanity. As marred as the image of God is in so much of the human race, as faint an echo the true knowledge and righteousness and holiness of our Savior is in the vast majority of the public sphere, the fact of the matter is we are tools that were created for one job and one job alone. And that is, as the larger catechism puts it, to glorify God and fully to enjoy Him forever. So I want to encourage you today to discover humanity's purpose in light of the gospel, glorifying God and enjoying Him forever. And I say it that way, God, humanity's purpose in light of the gospel, because many people will come and tell you many varied tales on what your purpose is to be, of what will leave you fulfilled, of what will leave you sensing you have a complete life and that you have everything that you need. Isn't that a little of what the psalmist was wrestling with in the psalm that we just read together, Psalm 73? Verse 4 says, they have no pangs until death. That is absurd. They don't even have an ache or pain in the morning until the day they die. They just don't even feel it. Well, isn't that the impression that we can get sometimes, that everybody else's life is smooth sailing and it, almost seems the more they deny their Maker, the more they live in rebellion against the gospel and God's designed purpose for their life, the smoother their life gets, the better it gets. We can be just as messed up in our thinking as the psalmist was when he was having those thoughts. First this afternoon, there is no other God but the Lord, the God of the Bible. And we saw that in Romans 11:36. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. That pretty much covers the gamut. And whether you go to a leadership seminar or a Christian education seminar or a church leadership vision seminar, they'll tell you, you need to know what? Where you're coming from, and where you are, and where you're going. And Scripture holds forth one answer to that. Christ. Christ as the revelation of the God of the Bible. There is no other God but the Lord. In our verses we're looking at, 25 and 26, the question here is, whom have I in heaven but you? You almost hear in there the echo of Peter, or you hear in Peter's question the echo of this psalm. Where would we go when Christ looks at his disciples and says, well, will you desert me now too? Peter had landed on this point that the psalmist is on. Where else would we go? You alone have the words of life. And so, the starting point for all of this is understanding there is no other source of life. Of what other God could Genesis 1 be about than the God of the Bible? Only the God that we worship. Who else could the great truths that we find in the Psalms that we sing, who else could that be about? But the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is the source of all life. He is the sustainer of all life. He is the end goal of all life. He is the only God. Secondly, all we do in this life should be in view of who God is. And the classic proof text for the first question and answer of the catechism is 1 Corinthians 10:31. To which some of us know automatically, because it's a way of life for us. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, some of us might give God a little too much glory by the amount that we eat. But the matter stands, something as menial as an absolute necessity. How long will we make it if we don't eat or drink? We have to do it. It is absolutely necessary. In the most mundane things, we must recognize that we must bring glory to God. He is our provider God. He gives us all that we have. And so we must glorify Him. We must do everything in view of who He is. Thirdly, surrender the fleshly desires of this life to the reality of the next. Here the psalmist says, whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. Only the glory of God was the driving passion of the psalmist because of the work the Spirit had done in his life. And he goes on to say, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. If my heart stops right now, it is because God wills it to bring glory to himself. even if I disintegrate before your very eyes here in the church parlor in Hutchinson, it's because God has willed it so that He might receive glory. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. Remember what the Apostle Paul said. To live is Christ. To die is gain. He knew this world was not the end result of the human existence, that we were built for this life and the life to come. And the life to come would be even better because we would be face to face and see Christ for who He is and know, and even as we are known, all of those wonderful heavenly truths. Those are what we live for. Fourthly today, desire nothing other than Christ. Desire nothing other than Christ. If man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and to fully enjoy Him forever, we cannot spend our lives obsessed with secondary things. They might be means to an existence, but the purpose of that existence must be Christ. All things should be stacked and built to have more of Christ in our life. We should desire nothing other than Him. The psalmist here says, "You are my portion forever. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." He knew that he could have all the glories of the temple, but if he did not have the promised one of God, he had nothing. He knew that he could live in the lap of luxury. He could be recognized as a spiritual leader. He could be walking down the street and people say, "Hey, isn't that the guy that wrote Psalm 73? That is such a great psalm. I heard it on the radio the other day while I was driving around in my chariot, and it just sounded so great." He knew he could have everything, but with Christ, without Christ, he would have nothing. He knew that God was his portion forever. In this life and the next, Christ is our only hope. And so we ask what the psalmist, "Whom have we in heaven but you?" And we must confess that there is nothing on earth that we desire beside Him. That is humanity's purpose. That is why folks stumble in the dark. Perchance they might reach out and grasp and grab hold of the doctrines of life, the doctrines of grace. You were made to glorify God and fully to enjoy Him forever. That is living your life in light of the gospel. And so we must pause and reflect and say, what have we been keeping in a place of preeminence and importance in our life that detracts from this purpose? What must we let go of? What must we seek to put under the gospel so that we are not distracted from our primary objective of glorifying God and enjoying Him forever? He is the only true God, and we desire only Him.